by Irene Friedman and family, in memory of her father Julian Friedman, on completion of the Shloshim. Le'ilui Nishmas Yosef Avram Ben Yishaya, Zichrono Lebracha, may the Dibrei Torah be an Aliyas Neshama. And in addition, for the entire, that's the Sunday share, but okay, it's been sponsored for the whole year, in loving memory of Rachel Bat Yehuda Aryeh and Hensha Aleihem HaShalom. Again, we very much appreciate the Hafsakas Torah, and I sincerely apologize in this in not making the announcement in the beginning of the share. Okay, so be it as it may, there are a lot of halachos regarding matzah shmura, number one, matzah ashira, number two, is no good. Now again, let me point out, for Ashkenazim, that's almost a superfluous halacha, because Ashkenazim do not eat matzah ashira throughout Pesach, so of course you can't use it for the Seder. But even Sfardim, and we talked about this last week, who do eat matzah ashira during Pesach, they cannot use it for the matzah of the Seder, because for the Seder, there's an additional halacha that is called lechem oni. The whole week, the only condition is that it not be chametz. All right, so if the matzah is not chametz, it's going to be kosher. Kosher lePesach matzah, if it's not chametz. Right? Matzah during the year might be chametz, as a matter of fact.
Right.
That's why it says not for Passover use.
Right.
They let it rise a little bit. But for the Seder, there's an additional halacha that's superimposed on matzah, that it be called lechem oni, and oni just means flour water. If it has egg yolk, honey, chocolates, sugar, whatever they add to these things, it's rich matzah. It is not the matzah of a poor person, and it is not kosher for the Seder, you think? Well, so I think Sfardim, I think, are fully consistent. They basically say it's kosher for Pesach, but it's not kosher for the Seder. So
I have a problem with Gavroch on that thing, too, on the same idea that either...
The problem is, in Hilchos Brachos, there's a very complicated idea that certain things are mazonos, but when you make it the staple of your meal, it then morphs into hamotzi. So that's the issue of egg matzah. Egg matzah is essentially a type of cake, right? It's more of a dessert food, a snack. Yeah. But when you make your meal on it, so then it turns into hamotzi. Mm-hmm.
So like chocolate matzah also would be a mazonos.
That's correct. Right. That's correct. That's the case. Okay, so here is the thing. So that matzah is the oraisa. Then we have a matzah where we eat the matzah and the maror together, and that's called korech, and that was a commemoration of Hillel's practice, that he would eat, but Hillel invented the shawarma, where he would take meat of the korban pesach with some vegetables, bitter herbs, and he would wrap it, by the way, like a karech is a sandwich in modern Hebrew, comes from korech. It's almost certain, for the word korech, korech means wrap around, that Hillel used soft matzah, the soft matzah of Sfardim, which is kind of like a pita or a lava.
Mm-hmm.
You can get soft Sephardic matzah, because the brittle matzah, you don't wrap, or you really cannot wrap around. So the Hillel sandwich was the first shawarma, or the gyro, is that how you pronounce it, the Greek thing, whatever. And the like. So korech is a zecher to the practice of Hillel bisman hamikdash. The only difference is Hillel had the korban pesach in the kricha, and we unfortunately do not have the korban pesach in the kricha. Okay, but then we come to the afikomen. Now let's talk a little bit about the afikomen. The afikomen is actually a rabbinic requirement in order to commemorate the eating of the korban pesach. What's going on? Because in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Korban Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal. It was not the main course. And no, the Korban Pesach is a lamb, and typically you have a lot of people. A lamb is relatively small. It could be a 30-day-old lamb. So a person might only eat a kazayas of a Korban Pesach. And there's actually, and the main course was other food, and they would bring other offerings, chagiga offerings. And the Pesach was eaten at the end of the meal, and this is a well-known halacha, ha-Pesach nechal al hasova. The Korban Pesach must be eaten when you're already no longer hungry. Now, it can't be eaten when you're totally stuffed, because that's called achila gasa. That's like, you know, you're nauseous by eating another bite. But you're no longer hungry. The Pesach is eaten at the end of the meal. And the reason is because Korban Pesach is a celebration of freedom, and a free person, an aristocratic person, you know, is not starving for food. When you have to eat something ravenously, that implies you're in a state of deprivation. And when we eat the Korban Pesach, we want to eat it like royalty. That's even why there's a halacha that you're not allowed to break the bones of a Korban Pesach. You can break the bones of whatever you're eating today, but the Korban Pesach, you cannot break the bones and suck the marrow, because once again, breaking bones is kind of a sign of somebody who's really, you know, ravenous, and Pesach should be in a luxurious state. Now, given that idea, that is why we eat the afikoman at the end of the meal, because it is a zecher l'korban Pesach, and that is why we don't eat after the afikoman, because the Pesach was the last meal, because we wanted the taste of the Pesach to stay in your mouth. Okay, so based on this, the fact that the afikoman is a zecher l'korban Pesach has very important repercussions regarding how late you can eat the afikoman. Now, let me go over this again. There's a machlokes among Tanoim. Tanoim means the scholars of the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Until what time can you eat the korban? It's not a machlokes about afikoman, don't confuse it. It's a machlokes about korban Pesach. How late can you eat the korban Pesach? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Korban Pesach can be eaten only until midnight. Mm-hmm. And after midnight, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach anymore. The Rabbi Akiva says, you can eat the Korban Pesach until the crack of dawn. Mm-hmm. This is a machlokes about the Korban Pesach. What is the machlokes based on? The machlokes is based on a pasuk in the Torah. When the Torah describes the Korban Pesach, the Torah says, V'achaltem oso b'chipazon. You shall eat it in a hurried fashion. Now, on one level that might be literally, because you're ready to leave, but on another level it is defined as the time. You shall eat it until the time of hurriedness arises. Meaning once the time of hurriedness arrives, gotta stop eating. So which hurriedness are we referring to? Rabbi Akiva says, we are referring to the hurriedness of the Jewish people. When we had to hurry out. Now when did we hurry out? In the morning. So we can eat the Korban Pesach until the morning. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the hurriedness is when the Egyptians were begging us to leave. And that was at midnight after the plague of the firstborn. Paro came and said, get out, get out, get out. So the machlokas is chipazon. Chipazon means ad shat chipazon, until the time of chipazon. According to Rabbi Akiva, chipazon is chipazon di Yisrael. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, chipazon di Mitzrayim. Okay. This is a machlokes legabe Korban Pesach. Now here's the question. How do you apply this to the afikomen, which is a commemoration to the Korban Pesach? So many commentaries say that since the afikomen is supposed to mimic the Korban Pesach, whatever zaman you have for the Korban Pesach, you should apply to the afikoman, which means, I didn't tell you the halachia, but according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the afikoman must be eaten by chatzos. According to Rabbi Akiva, the afikoman can be eaten until Amud HaShachar, because you're simply applying the rules of Pesach. Others say, no, that's a machlokes about Korban Pesach. And since the afikoman is not a Korban Pesach, it is just a zecher, a commemoration, it doesn't have to mimic. In other words, there are some opinions that would say that even like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can eat the afikoman after chatzos. Right? So that's a machlokes within Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Now, first of all, what is the definition of chatzos? What is midnight? Now, that, you know, nothing at all in halacha is ever straightforward or simple. There are actually two different ways of computing midnight. The only thing I can tell you is the one thing that is definitively not halachic midnight is 12 midnight. That's just a clock. That doesn't mean anything. So, opinion number one is it is the midpoint of darkness, midnight, which actually, you know, there's the middle of the night, which you compute from Seisa Kochavim, from the stars going out until dawn, and the midpoint will be midnight. Maybe that'll be 12, but actually with the change of clock, it'll be later. So according to that, you'd have to have a computation of nightfall hours, and the midpoint of the nightfall hours would be your midnight. Others, Rav Moshe Feinstein, is a different calculation, that you have 12 fixed hours from high noon. Now, high noon is also not 12 noon, but high noon, astronomical noon, is the point at which the sun is at its highest point in the middle of the sky. Now, that indeed is half of the hours between sunrise and sunset, but it doesn't automatically correspond with 12 noon, simply because sunrise is not always at 6 a.m., except on an equinox day. So according to Rav Moshe, you count 12 fixed hours. So if high noon is 1 o'clock, so chatzos will be 1 o'clock, meaning 12 hours from high noon. Okay, be it as it may, look at a luach, it'll tell you chatzos, but although it would be interesting to try to understand what formula. See, a lot of times the luachs that we rely upon, although all of us need them, and I rely upon them too, they're kind of black boxes because we don't really know. How do they know that this is Tetzer Kochavim? How do they know this? How do they know that? How do they know this is Chatzos? What formulas are they using? What computations are they using? Because there are different opinions how you compute different things. So if you ever have the time, it is worthwhile sometimes in the introduction to a luach, a good luach, it'll actually tell you the different views that they're relying upon and the basis for the computations. There is a very excellent website. It's called My Zamanim, which is very, very useful. And, you know, most people, again, use it just to get a bottom line. But if you go through their footnotes and everything else, you'll see a whole bunch of stuff regarding the different opinions that they're using. And they even give you alternatives. If you're Machmir, if you want to follow a certain opinion that is not a mainstream opinion, they'll actually give you an option to have Zmanim computed based on that. So it's actually very, very excellent in that way. They also, you know, they did some fundraising. They had a very excellent Purim fundraiser. Wow, really, really funny. About, you know, if you don't want to use us, they gave us different options. You can go back to the sundial or the rooster. You know, they went through the different options that are available in lieu of My Zmanim, and they talked about the disadvantages and advantages of each one. Okay, so that actually convinced me to give them some. Okay, with such a witty thing. But anyway, it is a very useful website, and they even do things like if you're in the air, you know, how you compute the Zmanim of Tefillah while you're traveling, crossing date lines, and the like. Okay, but be it as it may, let's not get into that now. Let's assume we know when Chatzos is, we follow a luach. So the question is, do I have to eat my afikomen by Chatzos? So bepashtus, it depends on who we paskin like. If we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that achilas Pesach is the whole night, then certainly afikomen will be the whole night. If we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that the afikomen, that the Pesach is only Chatzos, then at least many commentaries will say the afikomen has to be Chatzos as well. So the pashtus is, once again, that the question of whether the afikomen must be finished by Chatzos depends on Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so now that we have that introduction, who do we paskin like by the Korban Pesach? Do we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, or do we paskin like Rabbi Akiva? Well, if we were to apply the general rules of halacha, one would argue the halacha would be like Rabbi Akiva, because there's a general rule in halachic decision making. Halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechaveira. Whenever Rabbi Akiva argues with anybody, the halacha follows Rabbi Akiva. if that would be the case, you'd have no problem with Api Komen, because I look like Rabbi Akiva. But the problem is this, that the rule that halachic Rabbi Akiva mechavero is only if it's a one-to-one dispute. But when Rabbi Akiva is disputed by a majority, so the halacha follows the majority. This is expressed in the saying, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva mechavero, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva over his colleague, v'lo mechavero, but not over his colleagues. And there are various proofs from the Mishnah that the majority opinion seems to say chatzos. One proof is a Mishnah that some people recite every day. It's at the end of Karbanos. It is the fifth perek of Maseches Sevachim, Ezeu Makomen Shel Sevachim. It gives all the laws of Karbanos. And again, it's in the Siddur. Some people say it every day. So you may recall, if you say it, or you remember Sevachim, the very last paragraph talks about the Korban Pesach, and it says that Pesach is only eaten until Chatzos, which is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azari. Okay, so as a result, here's the thing. As a result, we paskin, because of the uncertainty whether the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azari or Rabbi Akiva, lechatchila, one should try to eat the Api Komen before Chatzos, but if you missed the Chatzos deadline, you certainly should eat the Api Komen later. Do not miss the Api Komen. Now, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, maybe I would actually not eat the Api Komen at all. I missed it. But since we're Mesupak, you understand, we're Mesupak, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria or like Rabbi Akiva, so lechatchila we want to be machmir, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. B'di'evet, however, you have to be machmir after chatzos, like Rabbi Akiva, that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore, bottom line, if you miss the chatzos deadline, you eat the Api Komen whenever you eat it until the dawn, until Amud HaShachar. So now, here's a problem. Let's imagine. I'll just make up chatzos. Let's imagine chatzos is 1 o'clock. You started the Seder late. You had a long Seder. You had grandchildren that wanted to tell you all of the Chidushei Torah on the Haggadah. So now you're finally sitting down to soup, and it's 1:01. You got 1 minute. So you might think, well, let's hop around. Let's eat the Api Komen now, and then we'll finish the meal after the Api Komen. Can't do it, because once you eat the Api Komen, you're not allowed to have any food. You're allowed, other than the two remaining cups of wine, cup 3 and cup 4, you can have seltzer, some say you can have coffee and tea, whatever it is, but it's a dover pashet, you cannot have solid food. You cannot have a meal after the Api Komen. So this creates a perennial dilemma for many, many people, and that is, I want to comply, you have these impossible objectives. I want to comply with the chatzos deadline. I want to have a meal. I didn't have my meal by the chatzos deadline. What do I do? If I have my meal and then the Api Komen, I miss chatzos. If I have the Api Komen and then want to have my meal, I lose my meal because I can't eat after the Api Komen. Right, so what does a person do if they are approaching chatzos? And they, oh, by the way, I do want to point out one thing. Most of us, this won't be a problem, but it might be for in rare cases. The first kezias of matzah must absolutely be eaten before chatzos. That's the motzi matzah. So at that point, you must be absolutely sure that you wash and you make alachilas matzah before chatzos. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the Api Komen, but in the rare event that your magid is so long that you're not up to the first matzah before chatzos, you're going to have to hurry it up. That's a non-negotiable issue. Okay, but we're talking about the Api Komen. What do I do if, you know, I finished my matzah, my moror, my korech, and either I didn't start my meal or I'm in the middle of the meal? Like, what do you do? So different people do different things. Some people say the mitzvah of Api Komen is more important than having a meal Pesach night. So I'll just skip the meal. I had my matzah, my korech, my matzah, my morah, my korech, and I'll go straight to the apikomen, and that's going to be it, and I'm not going to have a meal. Which is, you know, it's fine, that's perfectly mutter, but the Rebbetzin may be a little hurt. She put in a lot of effort in trying to make a nice suda, and now you're just going to skip it or eat it the next day, etc. Right? That's one mahalach. Another mahalach is that shalom bayis is so important, and simchas yomtiv is also very important, that it's kedai to be somech on Rabbi Akiva that you can eat the avikomen after chatzos, and I'm not going to be somach. In chutz la'aretz, some, particularly chassidim, have a minhag that they differentiate between the first night and the second night, and they're very makbid on chatzos the first night, because that's a Torah yomtiv, and they're less makbid about chatzos the second night, so you'll find a distinction there, that they're willing to eat the afikomen after chatzos, night number two, but they try to keep the chatzos deadline night number one, especially in chutz la'aretz, generally speaking, the second seder begins a lot later than the first seder anyway, because you can't prepare the table until afterwards, so they give themselves a little leeway for night number two. But I want to share with you today a very, very famous, ingenious solution to this dilemma from one of the great Hasidic rebbes, one of the great gedolim, really, of the late 19th, the very early 20th century, the Avnei Nezer. He was the rebbe of Sokhachev, Rav Avraham Bornstein, one of the great, again, not just Hasidic rebbe, he was one of the great gedolim of Poland. He wrote Shelus Tshuvos Avnei Nezer. He wrote the Sefer Egle Tal on Hilchos Shabbos, which is one of the great Svarim and Hilchos Shabbos. He was a son-in-law of the enigmatic Kutzker Rebbe, which is a story in and of itself. Kutzker Rebbe is kind of a mystery, but the Avnei Nezer writes that all of his growth in Torah learning was from his father-in-law, the Kutzker Rebbe. He's how great the Kutzker Rebbe was in learning, although we wouldn't necessarily know it from the Kutzker's own writings, but the Avnei Nezer was Mayit. The Avnei Nezer's son, his only child, became also a great Hasidic Rebbe, whose Svarim are very, very popular for people who try to learn Hasidus, is the Shem Mishmuel. Mm-hmm. The Shem Mishmuel is considered to be one of the most accessible portal books to Hasidus, and that is the son of the Sefer of Shmuel Bernstein, and the like. So the Avnei Nezer was a great Eloi, and this is what he proposes. He says the following. Now this takes a little bit of thought. There is a halacha that once you eat the Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to eat other food. And we apply that to the Apikomen as well. Once you eat the Apikomen, you're not allowed to eat other food, because we want the taste of the Pesach, or the taste of the Apikomen, to be fresh in your mouth. Now, how long does that prohibition last? It obviously doesn't mean if I eat the Korban Pesach, I'm never allowed to eat again. Obviously, there's some terminus point to this prohibition, right? So the question is, when does the iser of eating after the apikomen end? So this is the Avnei Nezer's chap. This is his chiddush. It ends when the mitzvah of eating, in other words, part of the mitzvah of eating the Pesach, or part of the mitzvah of eating the apikomen is you should retain the taste in your mouth. But your obligation to retain the taste in your mouth is only for so long as there's still a mitzvah. Meaning the following. If I knew the halacha was like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I would be allowed to eat food after chatzos. Because according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the mitzvah of Pesach is until chatzos. The mitzvah of apikomen is until chatzos. So the iser of eating after the apikomen is only until chatzos. After chatzos is not a zman of that mitzvah anymore. And if it's not a zman of that mitzvah, it makes no difference if I have the taste in my mouth or not. Like Rabbi Akiva, however, you would have to be strict. And you wouldn't be allowed, no matter how early you ate your apikomen, even if you ate your apikomen before chatzos, you wouldn't be allowed to eat the whole night, because the whole night is the zman of the mitzvah. So it turns out that each opinion has a chumrah and a kula. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the chumrah is, gotta eat it before chatzos. The kula is, I'm allowed to eat food after chatzos. Like Rabbi Akiva, the kula is, I have the whole night to eat the Pesach and the Epikomen. The chumrah is, I will be disabled from eating other food until the morning. You see? Chumrah kula. He correlates it. The prohibition of eating and taking away the taste correlates to the zman of the mitzvah. Ah. So based on this, we have the famous, what's known in the yeshiva world, as the Avnei Nezer's Tanai, the condition of the Avnei Nezer. Let's go back to our situation. Let's imagine Chatzos is 1 o'clock. And let's imagine that you finally, you washed, you had matzah, you had korech, you had maror, you had korech, and now it is 10 to 1. So here's what the Avnei Nezer says. Before the soup, before the gefilte fish, whatever it is, eat a kezias of matzah and make a condition. And you say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I am mechavein that this is my afikomen. But if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, which we don't know, I am mechavein, this is only a piece of matzah and it's not an afikomen. Now, eat it, wait 10 minutes till 1 o'clock. At 1 o'clock, you are now allowed to continue your meal. Why? Because like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you fulfilled afikomen, but you could eat after 12. After 1, rather. Like Rabbi Akiva, you can also eat because you haven't had your afikomen, because you had kavanah not to be yotzeh. So now you can go as long as you want. Go to 3 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the morning, take another kezayit of matzah, double afikomen, and say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the first thing I ate was afikomen, and this is just matzah that I'm eating after midnight. But if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I am now mechaven that this should be my afikomen. So by a condition, you understand why you need two, because if all you were to do is eat the first, in fact, you got to be very careful about this, because if all you did was eat the first piece of matzah, then, and you forgot to have an afikomen at the end, according to Rabbi Akiva, you weren't yotzei afikomen, right? So you have to have the double matzah, and through the Avnei Nezer's condition, you can literally, you know, have your cake and eat it too. You can have your afikomen before chatzos, and still have your meal by the expedient of a conditional afikomen coupled with a second conditional afikomen at the end of the meal. The only restriction you have is that the first afikomen must be eaten before chatzos, and you will not be allowed to eat between the finishing of that first afikomen and chatzos. That's why you'll want to make it as close to chatzos as possible, because if, for example, you were to have your first afikomen at 11 o'clock, which is fine, but you then will not be allowed to eat for 2 hours. So it makes more sense to bring it as close to chatzos as you can, but then you do have to have an absolute restriction on eating, but only for those 10 minutes or whatever. Right? So this is the ingenious, I guess, from something else you can see the brilliance of the Avnei Nezer just from the formulation of this type of condition. So a lot of people do this. A lot of B'nai Torah will, if they have a very long magid, and the meal is going to not be finished before chatzos, so in the middle of, they can do it in the middle of the meal too, right? In the middle of the meal, if I'm approaching chatzos, I can have an afikomen on condition, and then be mamshich the meal after I wait the number of minutes till chatzos. So many, many B'nai Torah do the Avnei Nezer tonight. Others only do it the second night, etc., where they're a little more mako. But people point out, numerous people have pointed out, that poskim like the Mishnah Brura, like the Aruch HaShulchan, do not bring this condition as a possibility. And the implication would be that perhaps it is not a valid way of doing it. But as I say, if Bein Kach U'Bein Kach, you're going to eat your meal after Chatzos, it doesn't hurt, meaning to say it's better. I'm going to remember what I did. Even if I didn't have a first afikoman, if I simply missed chatzos, I certainly would have an afikoman later. So if you're going to have the afikoman later anyway, then you might as well do an earlier afikoman on it tonight, because even if it doesn't work, it's not worse than not having it. So it's better than just violating the chatzos deadline lagamri. But what would be the problem? I mean, what would be the problem with the Avdei Nezer? Meaning, why wouldn't the Mishnah Berurah bring it? What would the Chisarin be? So, the answer is, because there's another piece to the puzzle, that for some reason the Avdei Nezer does not consider, and this is a little bit of a problem, and that is the following. The Avdei Nezer is assuming, and this was the assumption of everything I said today, that according to Rabbi Akiva, you don't need to comply with the Chatzos deadline at all. Like Rabbi Akiva, you have the whole night, and Chatzos is only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's not necessarily true. And that is the following. We have in the first Mishnah of Brachos, which talks about what is the Zman of Kriya Shema for the evening, right? There's a mitzvah, the Araisa of reciting Shema. So, So the Chachamim say Chatzos. You got to read Kriya Shema of Ma'ariv by Chatzos. Rabban Gamliel says you have all the way till Amud HaShachar. And the Gemara gives us, or the Mishnah gives us a story that one time Rabban Gamliel's children were at a chasna and they didn't read Shema by Chatzos, and they came home. It was still nightfall, so Rabban Gamliel instructed them that if Amud HaShachar didn't happen yet, you still can read the Shema. And then he made the point that even the Chachamim who say Chatzos are Moda, that B'di'evet you can read it until the morning. And why did they say Chatzos? Kedei laharchik Adam min ha'aveira, to distance a person from sin. Because what's the problem? If you tell a person, oh, you have the whole night, don't worry about it. So let's say it's 12 o'clock at night, I'm a little tired, I might decide, okay, you know, I can say Shema anytime until dawn, which is 6 o'clock in the morning, so let me take a nap for 2 or 3 hours, and I'll say Shema when I wake up. Well, what's going to happen is, right, what might happen is, you'll sleep, you'll miss everything. So the Chachamim wanted to be sure that people would not be negligent and miss deadlines. So they gave you chatzos. But if you miss the chatzos, you do have the whole night. It reminds me a little bit of sometimes we give deadlines because if you don't give people deadlines, if you give people too much of a generous deadline, they're going to miss it. So you give them chatzos, so they'll miss chatzos, but they're still with it. And it reminds me a little bit of a story that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was once put on a special diet by a doctor. And after around 3 months, he went back to the doctor. He was complaining he was losing weight too rapidly. It was not healthy. So he said, I don't know what's going on. My metabolism is too fast or whatever it is. So the doctor said, tell me exactly what you eat every day. So Rabbi Yaakov said, I follow your diet exactly. I follow every single thing. So the doctor said, oh, that's the problem, you see. I know people cheat. So when I give people a diet, I only give them half the calories they're supposed to have because I know they're going to double it. So you're keeping the diet, so you know, so that's why you're losing so much weight. That's the idea. So we always break deadlines, but the point is, you make a deadline earlier, so even if we miss that one, we're still within. Masha Enkain, if you gave people a later deadline, we would miss that. Okay. Now, here's the question. So what do we see from here? D'oraisa, Kriya Shema is the whole night. Midrabanan, there's a Chatzos deadline. Kedei laharchik adam min aveira. So some Rishayim say, it's machlokas, that this would be equally true according to Rabbi Akiva by Korban Pesach. Mm-hmm. Yes, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Chatzos is a deadline under Torah law. And like Rabbi Akiva, Chatzos is not a deadline under Torah law. True. But based on the Mishnah and Daf Beis, Kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, even Rabbi Akiva would say, you got to eat the Pesach and the Afikomen and before Chesos. Now, if you go with that approach, that even Rabbi Akiva is moda, k'dei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, you got to comply with Chesos, the Avni Nezer's condition would not be allowed, because again, the Avni Nezer's condition is, I eat the first Afikomen before Chesos, and I say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is my Afikomen, and I'll wait until midnight. But if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, this is not my Afikomen, and I'll eat my Afikomen later. So the Avni Nezer is assuming there's no halachic violation. But according to the Shita, they say that even Rabbi Akiva is moda, k'dei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, eating a late Afikomen like Rabbi Akiva is also usur al pi din. So you couldn't make a condition that my pre-chatzos afikomen is only like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You have to make it even like Rabbi Akiva. But once you make it like Rabbi Akiva, you'll be prohibited from eating the whole night. So, in other words, if you can't condition your afikomen, because even like Rabbi Akiva, you have to eat it before chatzos, but that's a drabbanan. But like Rabbi Akiva, you will then have the prohibition of eating food the rest of the night. That's going to stay. So that would be the reason why some will not rely on the Avni Nezer's approach, because they say that the first Afikomen would have to be both like Rabbi Akiva and like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And if that's the case, you will then be disabled from eating your meal the whole night because of Rabbi Akiva. Like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you would be permitted after Chesos, but you had to make your Afikomen like Rabbi Akiva. So this is the, as they say, the very famous Avnei Nezer, the Tanai of the Avnei Nezer, which many people do rely upon. And again, I would tell people that if you're going to have your Afikomen after Chatzos anyway, if that's what you're going to do, then there is no downside with the Avnei Nezer's Afikomen. In other words, it is not a panacea that eliminates halachic problems, but you know, you're going to have a problem anyway eating after Chesos, so this is not going to hurt. As the saying goes, im lo yayel, lo yazik. If it doesn't help, it doesn't hurt. So it's kedai to do the Avnei Nezer's tonight under those circumstances. Now, one other attack on the Avnei Nezer comes from an opposite direction. This is from Rav David Cohen. He should be well. Rav David Cohen is a very, very distinguished Rav and Talmud Chacham in Flatbush, Rav David Cohen. Some of you might know him or heard of the name. Unfortunately, he's not so well. He should have a refuah, shlema. And he differs with the Avnei Nezer's whole assumption. The Avnei Nezer's underlying assumption is that the chiyuv to keep the taste of the Pesach in your mouth and not to eat anything is only as long as the zman of the mitzvah. And like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it terminates by Chatzos. In other words, according to the Avnei Nezer, you are allowed to eat food after Chatzos because it's no longer the zman of the mitzvah. Rav David Cohen differs with that. He says that the makor of not eating after the Korban Pesach is based on the pasuk Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim literally means a protected night. But shimur also means to hold on, to guard. Leil shimurim, you should guard the taste of the Korban Pesach. Now that's a chiyah for the whole night, meaning no matter when the Korban Pesach was finished. Leil shimurim requires that you keep the taste in your mouth. So according to him, even like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, once you ate the afikomen, you wouldn't be allowed to eat afterwards. So that's an opposite question, opposite taina. On the Avnei Nezer.
Could you give us some kind of guidelines so we know where to?
No. So the bottom guideline is actually relatively simple. I would tell people that if you are approaching Chatzos, it is worthwhile to take a piece of matzah, designated as a conditional afikomen, and say, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this is my afikomen. Like Rabbi Akiva, this is not my afikomen. Then wait, exactly what the Avnei Nezer says, wait until Chatzos, then continue your meal. At the end of the meal, take another piece of matzah and say, like Rabbi Levi ben Azariah, that the first was an afikomen, this is not an afikomen, and like Rabbi Akiva, that the first was not an afikomen, this is an afikomen. Again, this is presupposing an important rule, that although when we broke the middle matzah, and the larger half was hidden for the afikomen, so people think that has to be the afikomen. The truth is, any piece of matzah can be an afikomen. You can designate a matzah from a pile and say, this is my afikomen. It doesn't have to be the middle matzah per se that is the afikomen.
When is
chatzos? I honestly don't know. It's around 1:15, I think. But I can send an email, let me check the luach. The OU, I think, itself produces a schedule of times. Mm-hmm. So it's around between 1:15 and 1:30, usually. And that might be even later because of the change of clock. By the way, this is a very useful bit of information for parents who are being extorted by their children. Oh, maybe I shouldn't tell you this. when your child is withholding the afikomen.
Or false sleep
is another one. Especially if you're approaching chatzos, so you're desperate and you'll give in to anything. Be aware that if you really have to, you can just go to the matzah box, pull out a piece of shmor matzah, and use it for the afikomen. So your kids do not have leverage over you. You will be able to have the afikomen even if they don't return the particular piece that was broken up. But nevertheless, I do encourage giving into your kids. It's a very nice memory that they have, and we should always try to make the Yom Tovim, especially Pesach, especially the Seder, a very positive and beautiful experience for them.